You're listening to a message from Mercy Culture Church, home of Pastor Landon and Heather Schott in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information about Mercy Culture and ways that you can be a part of it, visit mercyculture.com.
The Lord told me to minister on Blessable, on the Beatitudes, even before we planted this church. So we've been waiting for the time for the Lord to release it, and I felt the Lord say this was the season to release it. So I'm excited about this next season. So for the next few months, through actually the rest of the year, we're gonna be teaching on the Beatitudes and the character of what makes you blessable. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. Luke 1, verse 28, or verse 26, it says this: "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favored one.'" Someone say favored one. "The Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. Verse 30. "And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid.'" Someone say, "Fear, go. Fear. Holy Spirit, come. 'Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." Look at verse 33. It says, "And he will reign over the house of Jacob, and of his kingdom there will be no end." I came to tell you this morning that poverty of spirit is what blesses God. And the kingdom or the culture of heaven is how God blesses you. The title of this message is Blessable Part 1, The Poor in Spirit. Let's pray. So Holy Spirit, we just declare you are the guest of honor. And we will not make room for you in the service. We give you the room. We declare this is your house, this is your church, we are your people. Say what you want to say, do what you want to do. We say have your way in this place. Father, I thank you that your word is alive, it's true, it's active. I thank you your word is true and every man's a liar. We thank you that your word is infallible. It is the lamp into our feet and is the light into our path. I declare right now today, help us, teach us how to hide your word in our heart. Holy Spirit, we can't understand God's word without you. So I pray that you would breathe upon on it and it become rhema this morning. I pray that you would give us ears to hear. You would give us hearts to receive, minds to understand what your spirit is saying. We declare no spirit, but the Holy Spirit is welcome in this place. We declare fear, you have to go. Anxiety, you have to go. You spirit Jezebel in your confusion, you have to go. Every accusatory spirit, you have to go. And we say, Holy Spirit, come, rule and reign. Father, I thank you. Nobody came to hear me. We all came to hear you. So we say, speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. Would you teach us how to be poor in spirit? In Jesus' mighty name, and all God's people said, amen. And amen. Like I said in my introduction, we're going to be going into the Beatitudes. We find that in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. It says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." I'd like to give you some practical advice. Memorize the Beatitudes. And don't just memorize them, but teach them to your children. This is something we've done in our house since our kids were in kindergarten, and now Peyton's in fourth grade, and my son is in kindergarten now, and we teach them every single week. We say it, excuse me, every single day as we're driving to school, we declare the Beatitudes. We say it out loud. They have them memorized. The Bible says to hide the word of God in our hearts. So I want to encourage you to memorize this and teach your children. But in Matthew chapter 5, in the Beatitudes, we are in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. Right there on the shores of Galilee, on the mountains, which we call now the mountains of Beatitudes. And this is a special place because every time we've gone to the Mount of Beatitudes, God has shown up. I've been there 5 times already, and every time we go, something significant happens. And there's always someone that tries to shush you and tell you to be quiet, but I'm telling you, God shows up on the Mount of Beatitudes. In fact, one year we were there, and we were just praying in the Holy Ghost because God moves when you pray in the Holy Ghost. So we're praying in the Holy Ghost, and this group of Germans with broken English came up to us, and they said, "We're on the other side of the mountain." and we saw fire from heaven falling. He said, we followed the fire and you guys were underneath it. They were seeing in the spirit tongues of fire that were happening in that moment. The Beatitudes, the Mount of Beatitudes is an amazing place. And Jesus is teaching the Sermon on the Mount. Now, this is powerful because last time God met with someone on a mountain, it was with Moses on Sinai, and he's giving them the law. Now, Jesus is coming to fulfill it. He's giving the constitution of heaven. Can I get an amen? So Jesus is teaching who is blessed and how to be blessable. Now, to understand this, we have to look at the Greek. When we look at the Greek word for bless, it's the word makarios, which means this, a large, long, God extending his benefits or his advantage. It describes a believer who's fortunate from his provision or his favor with God. It means this, to make large his grace. It means to be envied or have an envious life. It means this, a continuous relationship with God that produces happiness, greatness, and success. That word blessing is a noun, and it means this, the condition of continuous or permanent state of happiness. So let me simplify. If you're taking notes, write this down. To be blessed means this, God's endless reach of favor. So when the Greek describes it to be mean reaching long, what it's saying is this, it's saying that there is no place that someone can go or be at and not receive the extended favor or blessing of the Lord. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about that you could be in the belly of a whale, Jonah, and still reach and receive the favor and the blessing of God. You could be on the backside of the desert, Moses, and a burning bush of the favor and the presence of God could be established. You could be a thief on a cross and a few moments away from eternity and still find the grace of God. There is no sin. There is no place. There is no mistakes that you make. Listen, you cannot sin your way away from the favor and the blessing of the Lord. It has no end to its reach. Extended favor, endless reach. You know, there's over 500 scriptures that just refer to being blessed, and that's not even blessing. We find it originally, we don't have to go far, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 22, 22 verses into the Bible, God says, he made man, watch, and he blessed them. God made man, and he showed them his favor. We see it growing, this concept of blessedness growing in Genesis chapter 12, where it says this in verse 2. God said to Abraham, he took him outside. He said, count the stars if you can. Abraham was a naturist. If you go through our membership and learn how you best connect with God, some people connect with God just outside better than they do inside. And if you just go outside and pray, sometimes your entire prayer life changes. Abraham was inside. God said, no, you're a naturist. Go outside. Look up to the stars. Count them if you can. And all of a sudden, he's looking at the beauty and the magnitude and the awe of God. And he said, I'm going to bless you. Look at this. He said, not only am I going to bless you, he said this, but you are going to be a blessing. And I'm going to bless those that bless you. And those that dishonor you, I will curse. And all of the families on the earth shall be blessed through you. Now I want to be abundantly clear that I am not talking about money. Because if you believe the height of blessing is money, you are spiritually bankrupt. Money is a part of it, but it is so much more. Let me talk about what the blessing of the Lord really is. We find it in Psalms 133. How many love God's word? I love God's word. It says, behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil of the head running down the beard, the head of Aaron running down the collar of his robes. It says this, it is like the dew of Hermon which falls on the mountains of Zion. Look at scripture says, for there, someone say there. The Lord has commanded a blessing. Now, what I love about God's word, Cam, is you can read a scripture 1,000 times, and when you read it on the 1,001st time, when the Holy Spirit breathes upon it, it becomes alive. Now, I have read this scripture more times than I could ever remember, and I heard the Holy Spirit say, go read it again. So I was in my office this week, and I went to go read it again, and when you read the scripture, it's speaking to unity. And how unity is a powerful thing. And when you want to be in unity with someone else, the strategy is you get in unity with the Holy Spirit. Because when you're in unity with the Holy Spirit, He will automatically align you in unity with other people. So unity is a powerful thing. It's one of our standards and values that we have here at Mercy Culture. But the Lord said, go look at it again. And when I went and read it again, He said in the scripture, it says, for there the Lord has commanded a blessing. And I had to go back and look, where's there? And so many times when I have read this in the past, I had assumed that unity is the place that God commands the blessing. But verse 3, it says, it is like the dew of Hermon which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there, someone say there. There the Lord commands a blessing. What's the mountains of Zion? Well, it's Jerusalem. It's the holy city. It's the holy place. Well, how did it get the phrase, the holy place or the holy city? When you go to Jerusalem, the first thing they say is, welcome to the Holy Land. How did they get that phrase, welcome to the Holy Land? I'll tell you, this famous place that everybody knows where you see that dome of rock, that's what do they call it? Mount, help me, someone help me. Temple Mount, thank you. So that's called the Temple Mount. And actually the Muslims possess that part of ground. This is the most holy place in the world. I know in Texas we like to say God lives in Texas. He doesn't. He lives in Jerusalem. Now watch, how do you know? Because this was the location that Abraham was willing to offer his son Isaac unto the Lord, according to Genesis 22. And he was faithful and obedient. And when he was about to be obedient, God stopped him. Well, in that same location is where Solomon built the Holy of Holies. And when we have the Western Wall, throw that picture up one more time. Where we have the Western Wall is actually the base of the temple that was where the Holy of Holies was. So it's my favorite place in the entire world is those pieces of rock. Because just a few feet on the other side of it is where the Ark of the Covenant was. Where the Holy of Holy was, where the tangible presence of God was or is. It's amazing because according to scripture, he's gonna take his place and return on the Mount of Olives. He's gonna make his way through a gate that's called the Mercy Gate and take his place on the mercy seat. So watch this. He said, there I command a blessing. Where? In the holy place, or watch, the place where my presence is. Ah, hear this, church. The blessing of the Lord is not in your retirement accounts, your investment accounts, or the size of your house. The blessing of the Lord is in His holy presence. That's where you find the blessing of the Lord. It's in His presence. And there was a bad theology that was adopted that if you were more poor, you were more spiritual, and it's not true. It has nothing to do with your finances. So if you have less finances, you're not more spiritual. If you have more finances, you're not more spiritual. It's only about the presence of God. So this is so important. So the presence of God is where you find the blessing of the Lord. So here's the question. You have to hear this. I'm gonna talk about this for the next few months. So what is it that makes you blessable? I'm gonna tell you right now, being blessable is not about God blessing you. Please write it down. Please put this, make it a screensaver. Millennials, tattoo it. Just kidding, I'm not endorsing that. I'm just kidding. Listen, watch. Someone might in this church. Okay. It's not about God blessing you. He already sent Jesus to the cross to do that. Watch, being blessable is about you blessing God. This whole series is not about you being blessed. this series is about you blessing God. How do we bless God? Now watch this. When you bless God, you become blessable. Church, it's not a secret. I got a text message a few weeks ago. Would you pray that God would bless me in my finances? And my response was no. Because it's a waste of prayers. What I will pray is you learn how to access his presence on a daily basis. Because in that you will find everything you need. Watch, you leave his presence and he says, go fish, you'll find a coin. You leave his presence and he says, go talk to the rock, water will come out. You leave his presence, watch, everything you need is in his presence. Ha. We've made it about us. It's not about us. We've made church about us. Guess what? It's not about you. I don't like that song. No one here cares. How long did they sing it? We didn't time it. For the dancers distract me, close your eyes. Find a corner, cry out to God. Listen, we did not build this church around you. Do you like it? Is everything okay? Is it loud enough? Is it quiet enough? Do the new 16 subs rock your socks off? Listen, David, is everything okay? Are you pleased? Do you like it? And I say this humbly, as softly and kindly as I can, as the lead senior pastor, I could care less if you do. I said to the Lord, I'll only build a church if you're there. I don't care who likes it. I only care, do you like the song? Do you like it? Are you pleased? Are you pleased by this message? Are you pleased by what you're doing? Or is what we're doing pleasing you? Listen, we are obsessed with his presence. So we are obsessed with blessing the Lord. Watch, Ephesians 5:10 says, find out what pleases the Lord. Can I pass to you for a second? Do you know how you find out what pleases the Lord? Two things. You read your Bible and then you ask him. Your voting should please the Lord, not your friends. Your lifestyle should please the Lord. Everything that we do, we should be living lives to please God. I gotta preach. I love Psalms 103, verse 1. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. You know what I love about this? Is this is being sang by the richest man on the planet, who's obsessed with the presence of God. You know the difference between David, King David, and King Saul was? It's a heart condition. Saul was king for years and he could care less about the presence. He let it be trapped and caught and run into enemy territory and made no effort to get it back. David was king, and the moment he became king, he said, we're getting the presence back. Watch, the thing I sang about in the fields as a shepherd boy, we're gonna go get. We're gonna go get as now I'm king. Watch, wherever the presence of God was, the blessing of the Lord. Ask Obed-Edom, who brought the presence of God to his house, to his city, and everything in his house was blessed because the presence of God was there. You wanna change the atmosphere in your home? Learn how to get in the secret place every day. You wanna change the atmosphere in your business? Stop looking at it as a business and start looking at it as a ministry. You wanna shift the atmosphere in your world? Bring the kingdom there. We need a hearts position that desires to bless the Lord. Amazing things happen when you decide to bless the Lord. Who was here 2 weeks ago at this service when we started loving on God for no reason? And then do you remember he would start pouring out spiritual gifts in that moment? You know what the cool thing was? The only thing we were doing was loving on God for no reason but just to love on him. No one was asking for stuff. It wasn't come get in a line for this blessing, come get in a line for that blessing. It's all as it was people that were passionate for his name, his fame, and his presence. Watch, as all we were doing was seeking his heart. Ah, while the American church is just seeking his hand. Let me ask this question. Are you blessable? Let me ask you this question. Do you know how to bless God? Do you know what pleases God? Do you know what blesses him? The Beatitudes teach us. Matthew 5, verse 3, look at this. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Hear me today. The poor in spirit bless God. Are you poor in spirit? Do you know what being poor in spirit is? To be poor in spirit means this. It means there's a deep awareness of your desperate need for God. That outside of God, you have nothing. That's why scripture says in Matthew 16, what does it gain? What does it matter if I gain the world and forfeit my soul? What does it matter how much stuff I have if I don't have him? See, the spiritually poor stand out because they're desperation. If you're unaware, our church does tons of stuff for the needy and the homeless. And part of you give and you tithe and you sow offerings here, it goes to that. Do you know, since COVID started, we fed 15 million meals. 15 million. And there's ministries to the homeless and feeding and clothing. Constantly they're going on every single day throughout the week here at Mercy Culture Church. And I've had a heart that I've wanted my children to be a part of that. I've wanted my children to experience just loving people. And so even before the church began, we did outreaches just as a family, and we'd just go get coffee and Starbucks and donuts and food and just find a bridge and just hand stuff out, me and the kids. And one day it was really, really cold, and I said to the kids, let's get all the coats we have extra in the house, let's go give them away. And Peyton's like, let's go buy sleeping bags. And so we went to the store, bought sleeping bags and coats, and we just went away giving them out to people. And it so impacted my children that now they are looking for somebody that is needy. And we can't drive to school in the morning without one of my children saying, Dad, stop, stop. Let's give them our coffee. Here, I'll give them something for my lunch. Dad, stop. Look, let's give them money. They're homeless. Let's give it to them. Because watch, when someone is in desperate state of need, they stand out. Let me ask you this question. Do you spiritually stand out? Because you're desperate state of need, or are all of your needs met and you don't need anything from God? This is the state of the American church. We have become so rich in spirit, we don't need the Holy Spirit. We have good enough lights, we don't need his presence. We have smoke machines, we don't need glory. We have all the events and all of the ministries, we don't need him anymore. We can do church just fine without him. Until COVID comes. I'm going to stop myself right now. Just stop myself right here. We have become so spiritually full. We have lost our poverty of spirit. It reminds me of Revelation chapter 3, where it talks about the church of Laodicea. I'm not fully convinced that it's not talking about America. It says, and the angel of the church wrote, of the amen and the faithful, the true witnesses, the beginning of God's creation. Look at this, verse 15. He said this, I know your works. You are neither hot or cold. Would you rather be cold or hot? So because you are lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. What does it mean to be spit out of a mouth? It is the opposite of intimacy of a kiss. It's a rejection of intimacy. Verse 17, for you say, I am rich, I have prospered, I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, you are poor, you are blind, you are naked. You have so much stuff, you don't realize how spiritually needy you are. Holy Spirit, take us back to a place where we fear you. How do you know if you're poor in spirit, you fear the Lord? Let me me just teach you for a second. Fearing the Lord is not being afraid of him. Fearing the Lord is being terrified of being out of his presence. Fearing the Lord is not being afraid of God. Fearing the Lord is being terrified to not be in his perfect will. It's knowing a closeness and an intimacy with him. The moment you start feeling it fade, you are fearful. Here's the thing, is when you fear God, there's no room to fear anything else. So if you are living in a state of fear, I can promise you, you have not have the fear of the Lord. That's why we say fear go, Holy Spirit come, have mercy culture. That's why we put it on t-shirts. We wrote it on the side of our building. I had some guy come to me last week and he said, I drove by, I saw it said fear go, Holy Spirit come, and I had to come see. It's not a cute saying. It's a life posture. It's a heart's cry. Because listen, you will be in a situation on a regular basis that you will feel fear try to come in. If you don't know how to do this, you should ask your children, because we taught them. And they will tell you how to tell fear to go. I don't know about America. Don't worry about America. Fear go. Holy Spirit come. Listen, when you invite the Holy Spirit, what you're doing is you are pushing out every other spirit. The poor in spirit have not lost the fear of the Lord. Now, what's crazy about this? It tells us to buy gold refined in a fire. In biblical phraseology, it always reflects a spiritual depth, an encounter with God with poor and needy people. Yet it's not talking about actual poor and needy people. Because in Psalms 40, the psalmist said, I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought of me. You are my help, my deliverer. Do not delay, oh my God. But the individual writing that was one of the richest men on the planet, who had his natural needs met, but was poor in spirit and realized they had so many greater spiritual needs. Watch this, Isaiah 55, verse 1 says, come everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. He who has no money, someone say no money. Come, buy and eat, buy wine, milk without money and without price. Watch, the prophet just said, come everyone without money and buy. Have you been shopping with a friend that didn't have anything? It's not that fun. That's how I feel every time when I go with my wife. She takes it all. It's true, it's true, it's true. Happened to you, John. I saw your wife steal your wallet on Friday night. Hey, really cool. Do you know that we did a fundraising dinner for justice reform for the justice houses on Friday night, and $110,000 came in on Friday night towards the $4 million project that we're going to be building for 100 homes for victims of human trafficking. It's awesome. It's awesome. So watch. Scripture says to buy food, or come buy food from me, you without money. So let me ask you this question. How do you buy without money? The only way this makes sense is if the currency wasn't dollars. And the currency, watch, was faith. See, you need to understand the currency of heaven is not dollars. The currency of heaven is faith. See, this is why when the Antichrist comes and the mark of the beast comes, and we're gonna be forced to either get the mark or you cannot buy. So how are you going to live in the end days, which I believe that we are in the middle of beginning stages of the end days? How are you going to live? Forget COVID. How are you going to get past the mark of the beast and the Antichrist? Watch. If you can't buy. That's this amazing thing. The church will have to live by faith. Watch, by faith, you're gonna have to go to your refrigerator and by faith, believe God for your daily bread.
By faith, you're going to have to start your car and believe for the Holy Spirit to empower you. Listen, have you heard the stories of the missionaries that had nothing but by faith? Look at those aren't stories. That's the walking of faith, the currency of Kevin. Watch. When a widow woman didn't have anything to buy with, but the prophet said, you just have to have faith. Watch. When Moses said, how are we going to feed them? It's through faith. When Jesus says to his disciples, I want you to break this. Watch. By faith. It's a currency of heaven. Some of you need to store up some faith. Can I teach you how to pray? Anytime I hit a spiritual wall, what do you mean by spiritual wall? I don't know what to do. You know when you're spiritually like, I don't have a clue what to do. Enemies attacking me. Things are going wrong. Feel anxiety. Feel weird things. Holy Spirit, what do I do? Here's what I do always do. I just ask the Holy Spirit. It's just amazing things. And what do people usually do? They ask their friends that don't have relationship with the Holy Spirit to give them bad advice. Or the worst thing you can do is you can ask the devil through social media. Watch, the best thing to do is you just ask the Holy Spirit. I had a young minister text me this week. He's like, hey, what do you think I should do about this? I said, do you ask the Holy Spirit? He said, no. I said, why are you asking me? If I could guess, just give you random advice. He texted me back 5 minutes later. He said, the Holy Spirit said this. I said, yep, that's what I feel in my spirit for you. Ask the Holy Spirit. So if I'm preaching this message and you're like, man, I fear a lot of things. And man, I worry about money. And man, when the mark of the beast comes, I might be in trouble. You know what you start doing? Ask the Holy Spirit to begin to help you. Help you build faith. And watch, the moment you start feeling fear, that's the moment the Holy Spirit can help you. The moment you start worrying, what does scripture say? Don't worry about tomorrow. Let tomorrow worry about itself. Today, you just believe God and have faith. I gotta keep going. So watch this. Some of us that are the richest in the natural are the poorest in spirit. Some people that are the poorest in natural are still aren't poor in spirit. Being poor in spirit, if you're taking notes, please write this down. It's a holy desperation. I want to take you to the text of Genesis, chapter 32. It's a story of a man named Jacob. If you're new to the Christian faith and your walk with Jesus and your understanding of scripture, Jacob was the son of Isaac. Isaac was the son of Abraham. God gave that covenant to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. I told you the story about him sacrificing his son on the altar or being willing to do that. God stopped him. Isaac gave birth to a son named Jacob, but Jacob wasn't quite the son that Isaac was. According to scripture, Jacob was a deceiver. In fact, his name means deceiver, and I apologize for everyone named Jacob in the room. And he spent his life deceiving his friends and family. You go read the story on your own. He stole his brother's birthright. He put fake animal hair on his arms to appear to be hairy like his brother. And he went to his father, tricked his father, and stole the birthright. All worrying about his name. All worrying about his legacy, his reputation, his plot in life, his wealth, what God had for him, what people thought of him. He worked so hard to build this life for himself. But the problem with building a life for yourself, if you pursue your own will, when you get to the top of that ladder of success, you will realize you climbed the wrong ladder. And Jacob got to this place of absolute desperation where his brother that he tricked in years past was coming for him. And he knew that his children, everything he had was about to be taken from him. And there he came to a place of absolute desperation. It's a good news that the psalmist said in Psalms 34, 18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and he saves those with a crushed spirit. Isn't it amazing how scripture words things? Everything we do is try to build ourselves up, try to make a life for ourselves, be self-made, do all this on our own. And God says he's close to the crushed. Some of you are spending, the enemy has tricked you to think that you are far from God because you're crushed. You don't even realize how close you are. Genesis 32. And Jacob was alone with God. Let's just stop for a second because amazing things happen when you get alone with God. This is why we fast at Mercy Culture Church. This is why we have a culture of prayer. This is why our vision is to take people from corporate encounters with God to daily personal encounters with God. Because amazing things happen when you get in the presence of God. Let me help you. If you're new to this life, if you're new to this culture and this lifestyle, don't worry about not knowing what you're doing. We'll help you and walk with through. When I first started dating Heather, she was in the front row. She was off drugs for 3 months when we went on our first date. We don't recommend that to any students, just so you know. Any young people, that is not the strategy. I went on one date with this girl, and the Holy Spirit said, she's your wife, disciple her for 2 years. Brought her to church with me. The preacher said, turn to Matthew. She said, who? True story. She's nodding her head. And maybe you're sitting there and say, Genesis who, what, Luke what, how, where? Don't worry about that. Just stay in his presence. You're going to grow. You're going to learn. In the presence of God is everything you need. He encounters God. Cam, are you stretching over there? He's stretching. He works out. I noticed you're not kneeling before the Lord. You're actually stretching. I caught you in the middle of my message. Stretching. We work out together multiple times a week. I just saw him. I'm like, that's not intercession. That's quads. Genesis, Jacob is alone with God. And while he's alone with God, watch this. The Bible says this in verse 25, Genesis 32, 25. When God saw that he could not prevail against Jacob, he touched his socket. And Jacob's hip was put out of joint. So he wrestled with him. Verse 26. Then God said, let me go, for the day has broken. But Jacob said, I will not let you go until you bless me. And he said to him, what is your name? He said, Jacob. Then he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God, and you have prevailed. Verse 29, then Jacob asked him, please tell me your name. But he said, why is it you want to know my name? And there he blessed him. Verse 31 says this, so the sun rose up and passed, limping because of his hip. And I want to make sure this is clear, because this is a little confusing scripture if you don't understand the full context of it. But Jacob, the reason I said God over and over is because Jacob was not wrestling with the man. And we know this because he said in Genesis 32, 30, for I have seen God face to face. Hosea gives us a glimpse, the prophet, where he said that Jacob met the Lord. So when it says he wrestled with an angel, what this text is known by, it refers to the angel of the Lord, or watch this, Jesus. But no angel would ever call themselves or acknowledge that they were God. Every time an angel encountered a person and someone thought that they were God, they would clarify who they were. This angel said, I am the Lord. So he is wrestling with Jesus. Now watch this. It says when the dawn broke, or when the day broke in verse 24. This is so powerful, because what happens in the dawn is mercies are new. Lamentations 3 tells us his mercies are new every morning. And some of you feel like that you're in a season of struggling. You're in a season of wrestling. And I came to prophetically tell you this morning that when you begin to wrestle with God, when you begin, watch this, to wrestle like God. Jacob was wrestling with God until he learned to wrestle like God. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that he was wrestling with the poorest of spirit. While Jacob's wrestling, he's learning how to be poor in spirit. He's learning from Jesus. Watch this. The Bible says that he touched the joint or his thigh. Do you know what that represents? The strongest muscle in your body, or the place of strength. So he touches the place of strength and makes him limp. Why does he make him limp? Isaiah 66 says this in verse 2, has not my hand made all these things? And they came unto him being the Lord. This is the one I will esteem, who has a humble and contrite spirit, who trembles at my word. I need to slow this down. This is the one I esteem, says the Lord. The one who is humble with a contrite spirit. Do you know what that word contrite means? It means lame. Scripture saying, God is saying, I am drawn to the lame. I am drawn to the contrite. Watch, I am drawn to the poor in spirit. How did Jacob learn how to be poor in spirit? He wrestled with the poorest in spirit, Jesus. The Bible says that he was once rich, he became poor. He left his divinity, put on his humanity. Watch, he was born a virgin and he walked a life that was poor in spirit. There is nothing more poor in spirit than God becoming man. And he walked poor in spirit as people lied about him, as people talked bad about him, as people persecuted him. He walked poor in spirit as they spit in his face. He walked poor in spirit every lash that they put on his back. He walked poor in spirit as they put the crown of thorns on his head. Watch, Jacob wrestled with the poorest of spirit. And when he began to limp, he began to attract God. Worship team, come join me. Your strut doesn't attract him. Your boastfulness doesn't attract him. Your resume doesn't attract him. Everything you've built for you doesn't attract him. What attracts God, watch, what blesses God is the poor in spirit. Those that are desperate for him. Those that can't make it without him. And it doesn't matter how much money you have. That doesn't reflect your spiritual desperation, your spiritual poverty. And when you're poor in spirit, watch this, you bless God. And this is how he responds. I'm closing with this. Matthew 4:3. He says, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This is so crazy. Put up Luke 1:33. I jumped out of order. Put up Luke 1:33. Look at this. This is the angel speaking to Mary. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And to his kingdom, there is no end. Watch. Jacob was building a life that was about to be ended. Until he became poor in spirit and began to build a life around God's perfect will. When he wrestled with the poorest of spirit, Jesus, the one who said, Father, not my will be done, but yours. That is the prayer of those that are poor in spirit. And Lord, I've made plans. These are the things in my heart. But I take off my crown. I lay down my plans. Everything that I desire, my will. And I lay it at your feet. And I say, Lord, take my life. Use it for your glory. My life is not my own. It's yours. Throw that scripture back up. He said, from the house of Jacob, To that kingdom, there will be no end. This is crazy. Jacob was trying to make his own name. And when he became poor in spirit, God changed his name. Jacob was trying to build his own kingdom. And when he became poor in spirit, God gave him the kingdom of heaven. And he said, to this kingdom, there is no end. When you're poor in spirit, watch this, you bless God. And do you know how he responds? By giving you the kingdom of heaven. Do you know what I mean when I say the kingdom of heaven? Start playing everything. The kingdom of heaven is where God is. It blows my mind that churches don't want the Holy Spirit when the Father is in heaven and Jesus is in heaven and the Holy Spirit is on earth with us, but we don't want the Holy Spirit to mess with our church service. The Father is in heaven. God is in heaven. Like Psalms 133 showed us, the presence of God is where the blessing is. Here's what the scripture is saying. When you're poor in spirit, God says, I give you my presence. That's where the blessing is. That's what you're looking for that you don't even realize you're looking for. Church, I came to tell you, when you bless God, you become blessable. And the poor in spirit bless God. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes all over this place? Are you rich in spirit or are you poor in spirit? Are you desperate for God? Have you lost your desperation? Have you lost your need? Are you poor in spirit? Do you pray prayers to bless God? Or do you just pray prayers asking God to bless you? Some of you need to wrestle with the poorest one today. Some of you need to wrestle your will out of your life and begin to wrestle with the presence of God till you pray prayers like, Father, not my will, but your will be done. Some of you need just to wrestle with God today. And here's what I heard the Lord speak to my spirit today. He said, just like the love of God has no end to its reach of favor, I heard the Lord say to me today, so is your love for God, that there is no reach, no end to the reach of your love for God. I heard the Lord speak to my spirit, and he told me that some of you don't think that God wants your love. Some of you don't realize how much God needs your praise, how much God loves when you bless him. You say, Landon, I'm a sinner. Landon, I got mistakes in my life. There's junk in my life. God doesn't want my praise. He doesn't want my blessing. And what I came to tell you today is nobody can bless God the way you bless God. Nobody can love on God the way you can love on God. And no matter what you're going through today, no matter what situation you're in today, I came to tell you the answer is blessing God. So Holy Spirit, I ask you to teach us how to be poor in spirit. Teach us how to have a holy desperation. Let a cry never leave our hearts, never leave our lips. Father, I pray that you would give us a contrite spirit, a crushed spirit,
that's always being put back together in your presence. Lord, teach us how to bless you. Here's what I heard in my spirit, that I was supposed to release you to begin to bless the Lord. Some of you need to find a place where you can lay on your face. Someone needs to kneel. Someone may need to jump. Somebody may need to shout. Somebody may need to give. There's multiple different ways, but here's what I want you to do is I want you to ask the Lord, how do I bless you? Begin to ask him right now out of your mouth, how do I bless you? Say it out loud, Holy Spirit, teach me how to bless you. Teach me how to bless you. Teach me how to please you. I want my life. Come on, pray it. Say it so you can hear it. Say it out loud. Father, teach us how to bless you. Holy Spirit, show us how to please you. Show us the church you want. Show us the people you want. Show us the hearts you want. Show us the life you want. Show us what you want.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Mercy Culture Church. If this podcast has blessed you, we'd like to encourage you to share it with a friend. To learn more about us, find us on social media and online at mercyculture.com.